Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this 19th day of August, 2022. This is the Horn, headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. This program is coming to you live from the David L. Lawrence Convention Center in lovely Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And this Netroots Nation broadcast is brought to you by Kat in Ohio. So everybody say thank you to Kat for making this possible. That was wonderful. It was a wonderful, wonderful thing that she did, and I do, and I know the rest of the community does, appreciate it very, very much. So thank you, Kat. And every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. Oh, hi, I'm Robin. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. That means that we say thank you to our 19th day of the month subscribers via PayPal. And what do we mean by that? Well, let's see here. We say thank you to Sharon. And thank you to Darlene in Connecticut. And thank you to Clayton. Thank you, Clayton, so very much. Thank you to David. I trust you are now ensconced in the beginnings of law school. We're very close up in Oregon, David, and our best wishes go with you. Thank you to Gary and Gaia in Oregon, and thank you to Cecilia. So that's that gets us all caught up. Fundraising goal, well, we are at somewhere around $1,400 to get caught up. No, I'm sorry, $1,700 to get caught up. Don't run off, Troy. I was kind of hoping we'd chat for a minute, but go. I'm playing. Go. All right, we'll see you. Have a good night, man. We're at $1,710 to crawl out of the hole. And that's a deep hole to be in, and like I've said before, it makes things like this difficult to keep running. Got here earlier today and have been walking around and saying hi, how are you, and things like that, and setting up future conversations. I'm going to be here tomorrow. This is a working weekend. I'll be here tomorrow and reaching out and hopefully talking to some of the folks who are going to be doing panel sessions and so forth. Just to give you an idea of what's been going on here. They always put together a pretty dynamic agenda. It's been, everything from Facebook strategies for organizing, storytelling workshops, what's new in social media, I'm almost afraid to ask, building the best case for a progressive economic message. There was a presentation by Starbucks Workers United, Young Workers in the Future of the Labor Movement. Staying calm in the face of a disinformation onslaught. That's cool. Art for Liberation, how to use written and visual storytelling as solidarity work. Nuclear weapons. That has some relevance terms of, things like the Russia and Ukraine war, the Russian war against the innocent people of Ukraine. Let me check in here and make sure that the stream is going out. I assume, but well, that's not a it's not exactly a winning strategy sometimes. Mic audio is low. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that, the squeaky. Let me see here. Yeah, it looks like it probably is. Let me see if I can boost things a little bit. Oh, I very definitely. Oh, yeah, see there? Isn't that much better? Yeah, okay, good. That's much better. But we're going to get more room noise, too, but that can't be helped. A lot of conversations going on around me. So that was some of the things earlier today. There's one that I want to check out tomorrow, 2 to 3 p.m., how Democrats can run on climate and win in 2022 and beyond. The Communications Workers of America will be presenting Beat the Boss, Lessons from Worker Organizing in Tech and Games tomorrow. And I'll be trying to get some, I might pre-record some of those. I don't necessarily know that I'll be going live tomorrow evening. There is just a ton, and that's one of the frustrating things is trying to pick and choose among what you want to participate in here, because it is a veritable smorgasbord of progressive issues. And by the way, this, of course, is, like I said, Friday the 19th of August. So we will be having Friday on the front porch beginning, about 50 minutes or so, or at least I hope we will. I've got the entire rig here. I packed it all up last night after the program and managed to bring almost everything that I needed, except a power strip. But even managed to sort of cabbage that together. And thank you. Thank you to the Communications Workers of America. They're providing the internet connectivity here. And it's been working quite nicely, and I'm absolutely thrilled with that. Just down Radio Row from me right now is our dear friend of long standing, Rick Smith of The Rick Smith Show, and his trusty and capable producer, Arnold, whom you know as Arnold in PA. They've been recording all day long. I don't know how many people are actually working live, but by God, I do. That's how I prefer to work. And like I said, pardon the background noise, but even with a directional mic, I'm curious about something. I want to see if maybe that shouldn't be picking up right now, but it. No, it's not picking up. Hold on. Check 1 2 1 2. I don't know which one of these I like better. This is a hypercardioid mic, and it might not pick up quite as much noise, but I have to hold it in my hand because one of the things I forgot was mic stand number 2. Oh, there's one over. No, I will not steal the mic stand. I will not steal the mic stand. I will not steal the mic stand. No. No, we'll go back to the other one. That's fine. And it'll probably quiet down a little bit as time goes by. Let's see here.
Yeah, okay, that setting's correct. Okay. So, where do we begin this evening? I know what's on, well, from the Department of G, I hope it doesn't hurt too little. Miss Lindsay, it took another whipping in court today. Help me, Joel. For a guy who's completely, totally innocent as the driven slush, Lindsey Graham certainly is putting on a guilty person's fight against his subpoena to Fulton County, Georgia. It may be because he tried to strong-arm the Fulton County authorities into throwing the election for Nitwit Nero. Earlier this afternoon, U.S. District Judge Lee Martin May had a hearing on a request by Fulton County, Georgia District Attorney Fannie Willis, who had asked the court to order Ms. Lindsay to show up before the special purpose grand jury in Fulton County. And Lindsay, I don't know if he appeared in person or by counsel, or was perhaps on the fainting couch at the old family estate of Smoldering Chode. Well, let's just say that Lindsay didn't impress Judge May. Judge May, in her opinion, wrote, "Senator Graham's arguments are entirely unpersuasive, and they do not even demonstrate a substantial case on the merits." Ow, that stings. Lindsay didn't like the fact that the court recognized that his sole request to quash the subpoena in its entirety was built on a determination that Lindsay and, I guess, Lindsay's bad lawyers had made about what he would be questioned on. He claimed that he was engaged in legislative fact-finding. Yes. And he is protected by the speech and debate clause of the Constitution of the United States of America, which he apparently doesn't think much of, but, you know, we'll use in a pinch. Judge May went on to say, "Instead, Senator Graham maintains that he believes that the other topics will simply be used as a backdoor." Lindsay, let's talk about the language that you use. The goddess of irony is watching closely. Will only be used as a backdoor for asking him about the phone calls. And then went on to say, "The problem for Senator Graham is that the record thoroughly contradicts his suggestion that the district attorney and grand jury simply wish to use questions on other topics as a backdoor to asking him about the legislative fact-finding on the phone calls." And so, having thoroughly, well, not so much refuted, but pinning a crushing brief against Lindsay's argument, Judge May said, "The court finds," and when the court uses the word finds, it means something, "the court finds no basis for concluding that its holdings as to these issues are likely to be reversed on the merits. Holding otherwise would allow any sitting senator to shield all manner of potential criminal conduct occurring during a phone call merely by asserting the purpose of the call was legislative fact-finding, no matter whether the call subsequently took a different turn." But he's not done. Lindsay will now appeal for a stay to the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. And, well, we'll just have to see. And this is about running out the clock, of course. All of these various strategies with regard to all of these investigations and all these cases are related solely to try to run out the clock until Nitwit Nero can, or the maggots in general, can get control of Congress and try to make all of this go bye-bye. Fannie Willis, the DA, apparently is not impressed, saying, Senator Graham insists that he seeks to delay his appearance before the special purpose grand jury, not just for his own sake, but also for the sake of the separation of powers, federalism, and for the people. That's when Fannie Willis wrote, the special purpose grand jury, however, is the people. A collection of citizens called together to perform their civic duty on behalf of their neighbors and families. They've sacrificed their time, effort, energy, and attention for months in order to investigate matters that affect themselves, their community, and the nation as a whole. The district attorney asks that this court deny Senator Graham's motion in order that he, for a single day, can assist them in that great task without further delay. The people have requested Senator Graham's testimony and stand ready to receive it. All that is left is for the senator to meet them. Once again, ouch. That stings. But then again, does anybody actually think that Lindsay has even a passing iota of interest in the actual people's business? Like Judge May, I'm unconvinced. And finally today, there was a bit of a response. Because, you know, the Biden White House has done a pretty good job of not talking about the search warrant and the seizure of the top secret and specially compartmentalized information and all the stuff that really shouldn't be in a basement at Mar-a-Lardass. The White House is making it absolutely clear after all the paranoid ravings of former President Trump, to the effect that somehow this was a
witch hunt.
That no, the Biden White House didn't know diddly, complicated legal term, diddly, didn't know diddly about what the DOJ was doing. CNN reporting today, the White House officials have privately expressed deep concern over the tranche of classified material taken to former President Donald Trump's home in Florida, including some documents that are only meant to be viewed only in secure government facilities. A senior White House official told Caitlin Collins, Kevin Liptak, and Natasha Bertrand, there is deep concern, and the intelligence community is worried. CNN noted intelligence officials have also expressed concern about what Trump might have taken, according to a source with direct knowledge of the matter. Intelligence community representatives have had discussions with the Justice Department, congressional intelligence committees, and the National Archives in recent months about potentially missing sensitive document. Missing? Missing? Like Nitwit Nero took the only copy? Well, this just gets better and better. And White House officials, CNN reports, have steadfastly maintained near silence on the matter, insisting it's for the Justice Department to comment on the ongoing investigation. And, of course, this is the way it's supposed to work. We just got used to a hell of a lot of dysfunction and abnormality in the last 4 years. And it doesn't, you know, Jesus, this,
you know, if I said they were declassified, they were declassified. It's, boom, it's declassified.
Ah, God, really? One of Nitwit Nero's bad, really bad, no good lawyers showed up on Frau Ingram's program. That bad lawyer in this particular case being Christina Bob, and answering Frau Ingram's questions, she described exactly where the documents were. Let's see if we feel good about this. Well, it was a locked door, and getting back down into the basement, there's security. You can't just walk down there. Only certain members of staff can get there, and then there's only one key. And Frau Ingram asked, was there a limited number who had access to that storage room? And Bad Lawyer Bob said, and it's B-O-B-B, in case anyone's wondering. Bad Lawyer Bob said, yes, Mar-a-Lago is secure. Just getting onto the compound is hard. Only a certain members of staff can get down there. It's a very limited number of people that can get down there. And the problem is, none of that actually satisfies the requirements for the kind of documents that Nitwit Nero was keeping stored in the basement of Mar-a-Lardass. And I, no matter how many times Nitwit Nero...
They were totally secure. Totally.
No, they were... Just, for God's sakes, no. It is apparently a storage room off an interior hallway near the pool with boxes everywhere. God, it reminds me of the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, where they take the wooden crated ark to a government warehouse and just stick it away back there, and God only knows. Right. And it sort of raises, you know, it raises some issues of memory. Like the time the Chinese spy got into Mar-a-Lago.
But it was totally secure. Absolutely, totally.
Right. Sure. Well, I think we can safely say that with the barn door flung open, whatever that stuff was that was only supposed to be viewed in specific situations, no more. Great Scott, do my eyes deceive me? No, they do not. It is my dear friend, Rick Smith, of The Rick Smith Show. I left my other mic stand at home, Rick. How in the world are you?
I am good. I'm living the dream. And how are you?
You got... No, can I try it again?
Yeah.
That's you.
Beautiful. So a lot has changed since we've last seen each other. But last time we saw each other, Netroots 2019.
Philly.
That's right.
Yeah, my first and only trip thus far to Philly.
And was it a good experience, bad experience?
You know, I had no idea what to expect going there. I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great city.
I love Philly. Pittsburgh, yeah, not so much.
No, not so fond.
No, I grew up in Cleveland, so there's a visceral thing.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
So you got to have the visceral part, you know, Cleveland kid. But, you know, having a good time here at the conference.
You know, this facility is beautiful. It's huge.
It's enormous. 1.5 million square feet. Looks like an airport hangar.
Oh, I wanted to make sure I had something with some sugar in it because I haven't eaten much today, and if my blood sugar dropped out, I wanted to be able to... I think I walked a mile to get to that vending machine.
Yeah. No, that's the one knock here. Everything's far away, and sadly, you know, the downtown area around here, they're... Not an awful lot of menu choices.
No. Now up in the Strip District, it's fun, but this is actually a little bit of a poke from the Strip.
Yeah. No. But all in all, look, this is about organizing. This is about meeting new people, networking, and out of this convention, this conference, I've had an amazing time.
So have you talked to a bunch of people today?
We've had some good success having people come through. You know, everybody wants to talk about what they're doing, and that's, for us, very important.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's gravy.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell me what you're doing and put the nickel in and walk away. And
yeah, I mean, the most interesting conversation I had was with a woman named Caitlin, who is with the oldprosonline.org group. They're trying to make sex work decriminalized. So she was out there pimping the sex work.
Nice choice of words, Rick. I mean, you know, really. But I mean, I feel like it should be.
No, it should be. Look, here's the thing, and this is where my position's always been: the old George Carlin bit. You know, why is it illegal to sell something that is perfectly legal to give away? You know, selling's legal. Fucking's legal. Why isn't selling fucking legal?
It's really unassailable logic.
Now, that said, I've got two daughters. Don't want my two
Three.
Daughters. Exactly. Don't want my daughters involved at all. Because, and again, you know, it's the seedy part where your mind goes. It's the exploitation. It's the drug use. It's the, you know, the police beatings and all the stuff that comes with that. So, of course, as a parent, I don't want that for my daughters. But Caitlin made a very good argument, very cogent argument about how decriminalization could be good for society as a whole, because you're no longer targeting these people that you're supposed to be protecting. Because she made a very good point of saying you cannot protect people that you're trying to criminalize and lock
up. Right.
You're predators of. And that makes perfect sense.
It absolutely does. And secondarily, it's organizing.
Yeah, no.
And I've never known you being the staunch supporter of organized labor that you are. I've never known you to say no, not them. They shouldn't have a union.
Look, I'm all in favor. And as I said, I want people to be safe. I want people to be able to make a good living for what they do. But where I fall short of where Caitlin's goal was, it's not something I want my daughters to aspire to be as little girls.
It's not a career path. but it is a reality, and you know, given my status now, a lot of women like me wind up in that work because it's hard to get jobs.
Yeah.
And
how's that working out for you?
Me?
I mean, the last time we spoke, and it's been a while,
and
it's just because I think we're so incredibly busy with, you know, our ventures. But you know, the last time we spoke, you know, you were heading down this path, and as I said, look, I don't get it. I'm probably never going to get it, but I wish you the best. I hope you're as happy as I want you to be.
I'm deliriously happy.
Beautiful.
It is. You know, we were joking earlier. This is not something you do for fun.
Yeah.
But
I don't know why you'd want to put that kind of work into it. Looks like a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it looks like it.
And you know, there's a lot of societal pressures, and frankly, there's nothing quite like being the hated marginalized group of the year, because you know, sooner or later it's everybody's turn with the Republican Party.
I agree.
Because it's essentially an industry of hate. But it's the sheer liberation of it, Rick, is magnificent. And you know what? It's awesome that you say I don't get it and I'm probably never going to get it. I don't think people really can.
No, I'm grateful that I don't.
But you know, but and I've said this a million times. Understanding is overrated. It's not understanding that people need, because it's at the end of the day, there's just too many variables. You know, there's a lot of things I can't understand about a lot of people.
Yep.
But it doesn't matter, as long as I can simply accept them and say you have every bit as much right to be on this planet as I do.
Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. If this is your happiness, God bless you.
Yeah.
I don't have to accept it. I don't have to understand. And I think this is where the left falls down a lot, that we want to demand that we're accepting certain things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember the first time I came across the trans issue. It was 30 years ago. It was 30 years ago in the workplace that I worked at the time. Les was you know, a guy working in the yard like everybody else. Went away a several months later. Came back, Les was Leslie. Nobody gave a shit.
No, get the job done.
Had the same, she had the same job, same wages, same benefits. Did some people talk behind her back? Yeah, but you know what? Those are the same assholes who were talking behind Les's back. You're never going to change how people...
And it's the same assholes who were talking behind each other's back.
Absolutely. But, you know, for me, this issue was dealt with. Mm-hmm. And why now is this the thing that is supposed to tear us apart? And I know the right's blaming the left, the left's blaming the right, where all I want is people to be able to pursue their happiness, run their course, but don't shove it down my throat if I don't want it. And that's important, too.
Well, it is, but I think, because obviously I've spent a lot of time on this issue, just sort of skull sweating to try
to. You kind of have to.
You know, I don't get a lot of choice. But the bottom line is, I keep coming back to the fact that, at least from the right wing perspective, Rick, it's economics.
Yeah.
Okay. They've always got to have somebody. They've got to have some marginalized back upon whom to fundraise.
Something to tear us apart.
I mean,
so they can rob us blind.
Yeah, I started thinking back in the early '60s. It was they done took in the prayer out of schools, and they politicked and they organized and they and they've never and apparently no Republican has ever seen an unprepared ninth grader in front of an algebra exam. Please, Jesus, let me remember the quadratic equation. Oh, Jesus!
No, they just cheated.
Yeah, well, and then but we moved from there. It's you know, think about how hard they militated to stop the Equal Rights Amendment. Think about, you know, with the exception of the so-called liberal Republicans, of course they're extinct now.
They were
hardcore against the civil rights movement. You know, the very beating heart of the opposition to the civil rights movement was William F. Buckley at the National Review. And then, as we moved more toward equality for the gay community, they went crazy over that. And the best part of it all, though, is that the gay community beat that ass.
Yeah.
They absolutely, you know, we're here, we're queer, get over it. And they won. And they're still stinging from that. So they keep trying to find somebody. The W administration, 8 years of hating people for being Muslim. And
talking about Sharia law, and what do we got now? We got crypto-fascists who are, we want Christian Sharia law.
Exactly. So, I mean, it makes sense to me in sort of a big picture situation, it makes sense to me to look at this in economic terms, because every time they do this, they make a fortune.
Yep. And this is where you and I are on the same page. For me, everything comes back down to kitchen table economics.
Sure.
Comes down to, how am I going to be able to keep a roof over the head, put food on the table for the kids, and who's making that more difficult? And that's why, you know, when I look at this conference, there's that thread of labor organizing that's running underneath that I think is so very important.
Oh, I absolutely. And I tell me if I'm wrong. It feels like there's actually a renaissance in the labor movement right now.
There's a renaissance of workers who are tired of the shit that's been going on. People who are fed up and looking to change that. And organizing is giving them that empowerment that they've been so desperate for decades now. And what's exciting to me is you're seeing a lot of organizing happening outside of the traditional unions. And
I was about to ask you along those lines.
There's you know, the Amazon Labor Union. Those are workers. The Starbucks startup, Chipotle, the REI. You go down the list. You know, the Apple workers. These are people who are independently coming together, which is the law and their right to do, and saying we want to fight for better wages, hours,
and
conditions.
And it's kind of organic too, isn't
it? Well, it's coming out of the pandemic. It's almost natural to go, hey, wait a minute. You called us heroes. You called us patriotic. We were essential. We were all of these wonderful things, and now you want to kick us in the behind and steal from us. It's natural for people to go, yeah, I liked the hero thing. I liked the essential thing. I want to be treated like that. I want that dignity, and I want that respect back. I'm not going to go back to being treated like shit. And I think this is an exciting moment.
Well, I think it is. And well, you know how long I've been involved with Coal River Mountain Watch.
Right.
We're a proud union shop now.
Nice. Congratulations.
Not a lot of employees, but they wanted to organize, and the board said, by God, we think you should. And so they are a local of a member group of the IWW.
Nice.
And you know the long militant history of that group.
Nothing wrong with our wobbly friends.
No, hell no. No, I mean, they were raising hell when Samuel Gompers was still rolling cigars,
and he was the reader while they were rolling cigars. One of those bits of history that I like to remind people.
I didn't know that.
His job was as the reader.
Mm-hmm.
So while other people were making cigars, he was reading to them, you know, whatever literature that he would bring into the National Socialist magazine or whatever, and the Daily Worker or whatever. And he was like the Limbaugh of his time. He was the talk radio guy of the time. They didn't have radios. He was the guy in the shop floor telling people information, reading the news.
I didn't know that was actually a thing within the tobacco business in the United States. I've known about the reader in the cigar rolling factories of Cuba.
Yeah.
But it was
actually a job. That was his gig, and it was a powerful position because you know like what you do here.
Yeah.
You're putting out a perspective. You're putting out news. You're putting out information. And information is power, and you were organizing those workers who were organized to march in the same direction, which is why I say, the left and labor as a whole dropped the ball back in the 80s when the Fairness Doctrine went down and did not jump into the race to take over talk radio.
Oh,
they ceded to the right wing, and we've gone over this territory. But I watched the lunchrooms that I worked in change over from, we were all on the same page, the hall would come in and say, hey, these are our endorsed candidates, and people would vote for them, to now, the hall comes in and said, these are our endorsed candidates. Well, you're a dirty bastard. We aren't voting for anybody that you say, because you're the endorsed candidate. You know what I'm talking
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
And it's all because they did not get into that arena of talk radio and fight the
and
fight.
Ceded the field of battle.
Yeah, no, and they're still doing it. It's still crazy to me.
Well, I mean, look where we are.
Yep.
I don't mean Netroots Nation. I mean we're on the internet because there's no appreciable degree of.
Well, the business model is broken. Someone asked me to go. If you were to start a business, would this be it? I go, no. This is my passion.
Yeah.
This is what I wake up to do. It's not my livelihood. It's my bit of activism. If I were to start a business, this wouldn't be it because the model isn't right. I can't go to advertisers and go, hey, Walmart, advertise with me. And, oh, by the way, I'm going to advocate for organizing your workers and for you to pay higher taxes. How many businesses are going to go, yeah,
nope.
Sign me up
Sorry.
For that.
No, that's not.
And we're seeing that. Look at the Starbucks. Look at what's going on at Starbucks. You got these workers who are trying to organize, and you got their CEO who's come back, Howard Schultz, a billionaire, who, was possibly had Hillary Clinton won the presidency in 2016, going to be the freaking labor secretary
doing some of the
worst things that companies have been getting away with for decades. And, it's infuriating.
Well, and Starbucks is one of those places that touches on my community now, because a lot of people like to go to Starbucks and be baristas because they've been known for being extremely accommodating in terms of various and sundry, all the surgical procedures for trans people. And so naturally what happened is when the organizing started, they said, well,
you have to cut that off.
Yeah, that's going to have to go. And,
isn't it amazing how the punishment comes out as soon as you said, I'd like to make my life better? Oh, no.
No, it's that old slogan that I saw years and years ago when I was down in the Caribbean, with the skull and crossbones. It was on a T-shirt, and everybody's heard it. The beatings will continue until morale improves.
It's true.
And you see, for me, just because I've had so much of a focus on the South, it's amazing to see people say, well, I don't think we need them anymore. Times has changed.
Yeah, but the South never saw the South was always the hard part for the labor movement to break, because of the name union.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not the union. Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of, because, I talked to a woman earlier who was talking about co-ops, and she was saying, the South is where there are so many co-ops, and you go, basically you can look at those as unions. These are unions of people coming together to get better access to markets through grain, the grain mills.
Right, sure.
Electric co-ops, there are hundreds of them across the country. She was saying half of the country is powered by these co-ops. I didn't know that. And she said they're mostly in rural areas and mostly in the South. And you go, they understand organizing, they understand community, they understand all this. How come we can't get them to say workers should be able to do better?
Well, absolutely true. And you know, maybe it comes out of the long history of the ownership class making sure that they keep people at each other's throats.
Yeah, no, they do that.
And you know, my dad, before he went salary, my dad was a member of the aluminum workers. They had jurisdiction over the silicon furnace that he worked on. That was in Alabama. But mostly, it's few and far between, and there's not. I think it boils down to there's not enough people who can present that positive image of, hey, look at my middle class life, and so everybody just sees that everybody's scrabbling and struggling to survive. But yet, by the same token, you've got that massive organizing effort at Amazon in Alabama.
No, it's incredible, and I hope something comes out of that, because it would be great to see that kind of a victory in Alabama. Maybe send a message that, you know, now's okay. Now it's okay to put that U word aside and start fighting for better wages. Because the sooner that we can come together, and again, you were right, and, you know, the wealth class has always divided us, north, south, black, white, male, female, gay, straight. As long as they can find a dividing line, they're going to exploit it.
Yeah, it's like the crystalline structure in a rock. You know, you find where the fracture can take place, and you break people in two. What was it, Gould? I can take half of the working class and pay them to kill the other half of the working class.
That is what he gets credited for. Now, I had the guy who wrote the book who pushed back vehemently. He was angry. He said, "I wrote the book, and I have never seen that stated." I go, I actually don't care.
I don't need... Yeah, right. I don't care if it's apocryphal. It's true.
Yep. I don't care if it was documented. He did it. It works. Division works. The more we eat each other, the more we fight each other. As I say all the time on my show, Robin, you know, the truth of the matter is it's not right and left. We fight these things on the right, left. It's not. It's top down. We're crushing each other, looking at things right, left, and looking at our neighbor with a jaundiced eye, when the reality is the people up in the boardrooms, the people who we never see, the wealth class of this country is walking away with the wealth of this country in ways that most of us can't even imagine.
Yeah, you know, I take zero convincing on that, because on any given day I can see trains leaving West Virginia with the wealth of the state.
Yeah, West Virginia should be the richest state in the country. All the wealth that's been ripped out of your ground.
Yeah, and instead we've got blood and poverty.
And you got Joe Manchin.
Knew we'd get there sooner or later. God, that man.
I got to tell you though, I'm shocked, I'm stunned, I'm amazed. That they got the Inflation Reduction Act passed through. I'm really shocked that Manchin came around.
I mean,
he got some sweeteners, which they always do.
Yeah, and yet already, I don't know if you know this, already ads are running in West Virginia. Alex Looney Mooney, who won a runoff against David McKinley, you know, they were both Trump supporting, but Manchin threw his political weight behind McKinley, and McKinley got thrashed by Maggot Mooney. And Mooney has already running ads saying that, because remember, it doesn't have to be true.
No. As long as you say it enough.
He's running ads saying that Joe Manchin, by signing the IRA, By voting for it, that Joe Manchin has killed the coal industry.
I thought Obama killed the coal industry.
I guess it, like, it's like the guy going on the cart in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I'm not dead yet. Oh, you're very ill. You will be very soon. Don't be such a baby. It's funny that, you know, there isn't anymore, never enters into the equation. And so there is some corporate welfare in there, and there will be there is encouragement to blow up more mountains, but the bottom line is the coal industry killed the coal industry.
Yeah.
You know, when they decided that they'd rather use 10 guys and heavy equipment as opposed to 100 guys going underground, I mean, we're talking, you know, within our lifetime, there are over 100,000 coal miners in West Virginia in the 1980s. There are barely 10 now. Yeah. And that was their own doing.
But what's interesting to me, you know, I was in Logan County back in 2013 when the companies then were trying to steal their health care and their pensions. it seemed that there were a lot of people there willing to, you know, who weren't actually in the coal industry. They were there to fight for it because it's all that West Virginia supposedly has left.
Well, it's our heritage.
Yeah.
That and guns and eating possums.
Yeah, wouldn't it be better to have a future?
Yes, it absolutely would. And, you know, Manchin actually mumbles a little bit about renewable electricity every once in a while and how he'd like to have a solar panel factory. Of course, it'll go to the northern end of the state where West Virginia's two states now. I mean, I just traveled through it today. Southern West Virginia, we got a little tourism here and there.
Right.
And the rest of it is opioids and poverty, and I'll catch hell from my West Virginia friends for saying that, but it's true. Mingo County, McDowell County, Wyoming County, all the way up into, you know, Beckley and Fayette County where I live. If it weren't for the tourism industry, there wouldn't be much left. But by God, you get north of the Little Kanawha River, it's booming.
Yeah.
And largely on fracking. But it's also because there's been, you know, there's the high technology center and all the stuff that Robert Byrd sent in, God bless him. But it's all happening because northern West Virginia is functionally indistinguishable from western Pennsylvania. There's prosperity up there. People have jobs.
Right.
Are they
white supremacists too?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So, no, I wanted to make sure we were getting the right coalition.
No. I mean, they're still part of that same coalition that looked up that word more times than any other per capita than any other state in the union back when Barack Obama first ran for president.
So let me ask you, what are you getting out of this? Thoughts, hopes?
I'm kind of surprised by what I haven't seen on the event planning. I mean, I would have expected to see a lot more reproductive rights stuff. Maybe that's going to happen outside the panel discussions. What I would like to see come out of this is fury.
Yeah.
And, you know, fury is hard to maintain, but I've been talking about it ever since the Dobbs decision came out. We have to remain furious. I mean, this isn't just we got to be, you know, motivated or angry. We got to be furious. Because with what they did, and with what we're already learning about, you know, the law
and what they're going to do.
Right, and what comes after?
Yep, no, there's more planned.
I mean, Obergefell, Lawrence, and I've been preaching this for as long as I've been on the air, Rick. You know, it never was about Roe. It's always been about Griswold.
Yep.
Because Griswold becomes the linchpin to every piece of social progress that's happened in this country in the last 60 years.
And I remember saying that about 10 years ago, and I got people going, no, you're crazy, You're being hyperbolic. I'm going, no, you listen to what they're saying. Listen to what the think tanks are putting together.
Yeah.
And it's even, you know, it goes hand in hand with, you know, this push to move back to the Lochner era. You know,
oh, that's another one.
You know,
sure.
You know, this idea that, you know, that government can't regulate the workplace, this idea that maximum hour laws are unconstitutional, it's against your freedom. That's
well, and all based upon that old fraudulent bugaboo. I mean, you want to laugh and cry at the same time every time you hear the phrase
liberty of contract,
privity of contract.
Yep.
I thought the privity was out in the backyard and had a little crescent moon carved in the door. but these are true believers, and you know, Sammy Bad Breath Alito would have no problem signing off on a new Lochner. And you know, for God's sakes, the handmaid will just do what she's told. And there's no sense in going through the litany of the other nightmares. But in the end, because he is the most senior member of that majority, Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Slappy Thomas is driving the bus.
Did you ever think you'd live to see the day that guy would be the head of the... I know Thomas is, or Roberts is the Chief Justice, but Thomas is driving the direction.
Oh, he absolutely is, and the Roberts Court is going to have an asterisk by it.
Wow.
Because
and make no mistake, it's not like he was some moderate. It's just that what we're finding out is what we used to think were radical Republicans, we're not nearly as radical as they can get.
Oh, no, it's going to get uglier. And that's where the rage that you were talking about has to maintain, because they're not going to stop.
No. And I'm almost certain that based on the way that these legal chop shops operate, you remember when was it James Carville that talked about dragging a $100 bill through the trailer court? Remember that? Well, these right-wing legal chop shops are dragging $100 bills through trailer courts all over America. And they, among other things, they're looking for people who are religiously aggrieved over something. It doesn't matter. You know, they're religiously aggrieved over the lesbian couple across the street. They're religiously aggrieved over the fact that they saw their neighbor buying a box of condoms. And it's going to be all of these social issues that are nobody's business except the people engaging in them that are going to drive the absolute, and it's not at all surprising if you look at the rise of things like Mussolini's Italy or Franco's Spain or Hitler's Germany. All that crap is always driven by disgust.
Just like here in Pennsylvania, Mastriano's conservative, you know, clan. You
right.
Know, that's why I call him Benito Mastriano.
That's good.
He's bringing it.
And I worry a little bit. I mentioned this on the air a couple of weeks ago. I had to go and look up who the Democratic nominee for governor is in Pennsylvania. I know.
Really? Josh Shapiro.
Yeah.
Josh is a good guy.
He is a good guy.
I'm hoping he does well. or maybe I'm moving to another state.
Right. Well, I mean, come on to West Virginia.
No.
You can come down and enjoy great, make West Virginia great, big old Governor Jim Justice with the rest of us.
The state that's with the governor that says, no, we don't want the people to decide whether Roe should be legal or illegal. We're going to leave it to the legislature. No.
Let's don't and say we didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, I'm glad that he's got the name recognition here, but you know, there's that old saying that there's no such thing as bad publicity.
No, the great thing about Shapiro is, man, his biggest accomplishment, and the one they don't spend far enough time on talking about, is he won $20 million in back wages for workers who are getting cheated by their employer. For me, that wage theft case was enormous, and to me, he's going to show what kind of governor
he
will be.
It was noble.
And it was right. I mean, exactly. That's something that needs to get much more attention. And look, there's a chance we pick up a Senate seat here in Pennsylvania. That's
please, Jesus,
huge.
Please.
That's huge. There's a chance. If Democrats show up, again, it's, you know, get your lazy asses out and go vote. That simple.
And I noticed
Herschel Walker. How is Herschel Walker even close
right.
to polling? A guy who can't put a sentence together doesn't. Here, Oz doesn't even know how many houses he owns. For Christ's sake.
Crudités.
Yeah, crudités.
I ran across one line a few.
Wegners.
Wegners.
Yeah. Freaking Wegners. You're at Redners, you moron.
But I ran across a line when that was all happening, and I can't get it out of my head. It's only crudité if it comes from the crudité region of France. but he really is something special.
No, he's the gift. In fact, he's such the gift that gives that the Republicans are pulling their money out of the state. They've kind of already given up on him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, how much philosophical space really is there between Mehmet Oz, Dr. Oz, and say a Gwyneth Paltrow out there selling jade vagina eggs? I mean. Yeah, he's hustled that kind of insane shit, you know, cinnamon to cure diabetes. But John, I actually sit around, you know, kind of looking forward to seeing John Fetterman in the Senate of the United States and letting that big dude, you know, look down at Joe Manchin.
I sure hope so. And say that you're no longer needed here.
Yeah, and that's something I've been preaching for a while. If you really, 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 really hate Joe Manchin, don't piss and moan about the hillbillies who send him to Washington.
Yep.
It's not like there was a choice.
No. Get a couple more senators in there and move the
ball along. Make him irrelevant.
Yep.
Make his vote unnecessary.
Yep.
Because I think John Fetterman will vote the right way.
Yeah. No, I know he will. I've known John for years. Good guy. Knew him when he was mayor of Braddock, not too far from here. And he was, you know, a guy who did street work, you know, built a community thrift store that gave clothes away to people who needed it, built a food bank, built things to make people's lives better. That's the guy I want in the Senate. I don't want someone who is hawking beet juice or some kind of nonsense on daytime talk TV. Doesn't even know what his kids' names are or how many houses he owns. I know John owns one house, and it's in a neighborhood that the vast majority of people would never want to live in because their poor people live there. That's the important thing. John is somebody who lives the life that of the thing that he talks.
So, how has his recovery been?
I don't know. I've reached out a couple of times. I haven't gotten a response back. He looks good. He sounds good. The official line is he's back. We'll see.
I sure hope so.
I hope so. I know you got a huge lineup today. It was really great seeing
you.
I'm
so grateful that you came by.
I saw you
working over there, and I didn't want to, you know, break your train of thought or anything, or, you know, make it jump the tracks.
Yeah.
But it has been entirely too long since you and I have sat down and had a conversation.
We got to do this before the next networks.
Yes, do please.
Good stuff. Yeah.
All right, good deal. Rick Smith.
Thanks, Rob.
Tell people how and when and where to get the program.
Daily at 9 to 11 p.m. You can go to ricksmithshow.com. Follow us on Twitter at Rick Smith Show. We're on stations across the country. Check your local listings for those. But the easiest way, ricksmithshow.com.
And how many years have you been at this now?
This Labor Day, it'll be 17. So
wow.
We started, you know, Labor Day of 05. I've been plugging away at it ever since.
Yeah, we met in D.C.
Yep,
being harangued to retweet Ed Schultz.
Don't get me started.
God rest his soul.
There you go.
Thank you, Rick Smith.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.
Good luck, man.
And Arnold's right over there. Pass the mic to Arnold for just a second.
Hey, Robin. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good.
And, you know, for anybody who doesn't know, Arnold is Rick's producer.
Yeah, my official role now is actually tech guy engineer. So I'm an assistant producer now. It's just the way it goes.
I understand. but tech guy engineer is pretty damned important, too.
Yes. Yeah, you can't do these without me.
No, I don't think so. How have you been?
I'm doing really good. Life has...
You look good.
Thank you. Since we've last seen each other, life has changed for all of us.
yeah.
In a bunch of different ways. You know, like, the silliest one, I'm a year now with no hair.
So it suits you.
Thank you. Yeah, it was different. I looked in the mirror one day, and I was like, I don't know who this person is. Hair's got to go. And best decision I ever made.
It's a badass. Don't fuck with me. Look.
Yeah, and you know the part that I love is when I first did it. I was like, people are going to think I'm a skinhead. I'm a Nazi. And then I was like, if they talk to me for 2 seconds, they will know that I'm still me.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, it's when you shave your head and there's a swastika underneath. That's when you know that you're dealing with a skinhead and a Nazi.
No, I won't do that. I have no ink and won't get any. But. You know, it was when we first met in Philly, we had a great time.
Oh, that was, I remember, I will never forget that.
It was just a pisser, you know, I hadn't been that drunk in a long time.
Well, you know, sitting there and twisting up a number across from the Quaker Meeting House, I mean, that was...
I remember that, too.
That was special.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Around the corner from Franklin's grave. I mean, you know.
And then when we were walking down the one street, you said to me, you said, I had just lit one, and you said, we just passed a cop. And I was like, oh, well, too late now. Anyway, So anyway,
so is I know you were working with some other people in the past. Is Rick your only gig now? Or?
So I'm back to doing cars and trucks, antique cars and trucks at home. And
I've seen a few of those. You've sent me some pictures, and those are amazing.
Yeah, so we're doing stuff older than 96. Most late model stuff I do for friends and family if I have to. But as far as radio, yeah, Rick's my primary now. Bob Fast passed away.
Right.
And a few of the other people that I was working with that were, you know, directly related to Bob, they're all gone. My radio stuff now is, you know, engineering for Rick, and that's basically it. But when we do these, I love it because you get to come out and you get to see people,
yeah,
and you get to talk to other intellectuals, and, you know, it's a blast.
Other intellectuals. I wonder what that's like. I got to ask the personal stuff. How's your little girl?
Anne is doing fabulous. She's with my mom for the next couple days since I'm here. I actually have her mostly full time. She does see her mother off and on. She goes to school from my house. Life is different.
But God, how old is she now?
7.
Jesus.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is. You know, you're only 9 years from Dad, I need the keys.
Yep, and that's coming fast. She's already has a four-wheeler, you know, gas-powered four-wheeler, and she's just like me. She rides it, and my heart's in my mouth. I don't know how my dad lived with me watching her grow up. I'm in for a world of hurt, and I know it.
Well, it's payback.
Oh, definitely.
You earned it.
Yes, exactly.
So, as far as, I mean, you're sitting there watching Rick do what Rick does.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have right now? I mean, Joe Biden hasn't even been in the White House for 2 full years.
Yep,
that's January of next year.
Yep.
Are you upbeat, downbeat, middle of the road?
You know what's funny? When I talk to right wingers, they have such a hatred for Joe. That
God, yes.
I have to defend him. And there's a part of me that, you know, I'm only 42, so there's a part of me, I look at this old man and I'm like, come on, old man, like, snap out of it, you know, do some shit, right? And then there's a part of me that's just proud to not have Trump anymore. And the Biden administration is doing cool stuff. They don't publicize it enough.
And they're being competent.
Competent, yep. You know, I'm curious to see who the Democrats put up in 24. I know it's not going to be Joe.
Wait, hold on, stop. You know it's not going to be Joe?
I have a feeling it's not going to be Joe.
Why not?
Does he have 4 more years after this?
I think so.
Well, let's see.
I mean, people who take care of themselves and have the best health care in the world often live a very long time.
I agree with that. I'll put it back at you. Is that what you think is going to happen?
I think we had, unless he says he is straight up just not interested, or if he simply cannot go on.
Yep.
I think we're unloading a 44 Magnum into our feet if we primary him.
Yep.
Or, I mean, if he says he doesn't want to run, I think we're at great risk.
Well, you know, the guy from Florida, I won't even say his name.
Oh, well, let me. You mean white supremacist adjacent Florida Governor Ron Monkey up DeKlantis, the man who was only elected with the help of real live, no kidding, Nazis?
Yes, that person. And I'm glad you said it, because I just, thank you. When I listen to him talk, he's Trump 2.0. The scary thing is, if you remember back, I said Trump would never leave office back in 16.
Yeah.
And what happened is he tried to not leave office. I think a more competent, younger, more vibrant version of himself will not leave.
More toxic, more dangerous.
Yes. And so, you know, if Biden is the choice and we have to run Biden, I hope Biden wins. You know, I hope anybody wins except DeSantis at this moment, because from what I understand, he's going to be the front runner. He will be the one that the right wing, you know, rises to the top.
And you don't think Nitwit Nero's going to run?
I assume he'll.
Or is he just going to run the hustle?
I think he's running the grift for now. I mean, that's really what my gut says. You know, this is a money run, I think, you know, he's telling people he's going to run just to you know, get the kids some more money.
That's exactly, I mean, as long as it's an undeclared campaign,
yep,
it's free money.
Yeah. And that's, you know, think
about, he's still got debt to service.
Think about all the money that he supposedly has. He needs to get close to that actual number. You know, and I really believe he's just trying to make bank. And I think the people who love him and worship him at some point get a dose of reality when, you know, I saw a picture of him on some Facebook post today. And he just looks, he looks the worst that he's looked in the few years.
He kind of looks like he's melting in real time.
Yes, yes.
And, I mean, I don't... You know, you know, you listen. You know that you know the slogan, "Stoke the Stroke." And I don't think I was talking with a friend earlier today, and I said, you know, he's either going to stroke out or he's going to be naked running in the yard playing with himself.
Right.
And my buddy said, "Well, my bet's on the latter."
It's coming. You know, it's going to be. First of all, if you ever need a comic relief to life, go on YouTube and look up golf cart fail videos. Okay.
Okay.
And then just assume picture. So in your mind's eye, picture Trump in the golf cart fail videos. That's coming. We're gonna definitely see that. You know, crazy old man crashes golf cart in Florida.
Eaten by gator. It's been a tough summer for gators. I mean, for people getting eaten by gators. I mean, that could be a thing, couldn't it?
Well, animals in general are definitely. It's time for them to take the world back.
Well, I think they're feeling a lot. Honestly speaking, they're feeling a lot of environmental pressure.
Yep. Like, we just had a bear go through our yard the other day before I left to come here, and not some little tiny cute little bear, big ass bear. And they're being displaced from all the fracking in right. The counties north of us. Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if you saw this or not. Annette pointed it out to me. There are studies coming out that are similar to what we once got about mountaintop removal.
Yep.
That show that, and it's out of Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Children who grow up around fracking have a vastly increased risk of leukemia.
Yep. Yeah, and they're finding like all kinds of stuff in the water years later. You know, even where active drilling has ceased, and there's you know, wells that are abandoned and stuff. The drinking water has all kinds of toxins in it, and that's, you know, when your water is poisoned, or your air, or both, you, guess what? You're poisoned.
You're on the way out.
Yep.
Yeah. No getting around. I hope we get to spend a little time off air and hanging out. And
yeah, when you get off tonight, just hit me up. I'll see where I'm at.
Okay, sounds good.
I'm usually up till midnight, so just hit me up.
Okay, good deal.
All right.
Arnold, thank you so much, man.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm sure we'll be talking some more.
Definitely. Good to see you.
All right, good to see you, my friend. It's our buddy Arnold, tech guy engineer for the Rick Smith Show. And you're off the clock now, so enjoy, my brother. And this being Friday, it is of course Friday on the front porch. And just because I'm sitting in an increasingly empty convention center in Pittsburgh doesn't mean we're not going to go over the river and through the trees and gather together in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves and gather around the extraordinary ordinary round table and see what's on our collective horn mind. If you listen carefully, you'll hear the echo in the background. I think the keynote may be starting. What is that, by the way? Let's see. No, I don't want the egg foo young. Oh no, this is the okay. Let's see. Right now we've got the Chairman Emeritus's Pub Quiz 2022, the Confluence. Happy Hour, sponsored by Civic Eagle, up on the rooftop of this convention center is freaking awesome. It's a green rooftop. Happy Hour, sponsored by who? Happy Hour, sponsored by Move On. and Netroots Candidate Happy Hour, sponsored by Democracy for America and Black Male Voter Project. And then from 7:30 to 11 is the Daily Kos and Action Network present Slide to the Left, a funk party for the people. I'd like to go and see that. And there's food trucks, and I'm starving. The food porn portion of the program, I detoured going through Fairmont, West Virginia, and stopped at Country Club Bakery. This is an unpaid product placement. And got a couple of bags of the best pepperoni rolls in the entire state of West Virginia from the place where they originated. And they're sitting in the car, and God, I'd love to have one right now. But I'll be snacking over the course of the weekend. And, of course, this being Pittsburgh, I'm in search of pierogies. I love the sauerkraut pierogies. They're so good. But we're connected. We're connected to the Friday on the Front Porch group, so cross your fingers, hoping this works. Are you there, Sparky?
Yes, I'm here.
Hot diggity. Okay, so that's and let me make sure that I've got maximum gain going here. Okay, all better. How's your Friday?
It's hot Friday again.
107. Did I see that earlier in the chat room?
I don't know. I didn't check the temperature. Let me ask Alexa. Alexa, what's the temperature? Alexa, what's the temperature?
Right now, it's 105 degrees Fahrenheit. Tonight, expect a low of 71 degrees.
Yeah.
105.
But it's a dry heat, right?
Yeah, it's like walking into an oven.
Wow. Let's see. Well, okay, let's do battling.
There is a little breeze blowing outside. I can see it in my neighbor's palm tree.
Well, outside here it's 84 and sunny. Absolutely, the Allegheny Riverside of this is absolutely gorgeous. And I'm still, I guess there'll still be some daylight left when the program's over. So, anything good? Anything big going on today?
With me? No.
You? Just anybody waiting. Else?
No, just waiting to hear when Donnie's going to get the cuss thrown on him.
That'd be fine by me. Is that you, Ben?
Yeah.
Cool. How are you this evening?
I'm not too bad. September's almost here.
Oh, I know. What's the line from Boys of Summer by Don Henley? I feel it in the air. Summer's out of reach.
Yep.
Well, it isn't going to be over here till it's over.
Oh, no. You're gonna keep baking and burning.
And then I heard the other day from Michael Mann on MSNBC... that the West Coast of California is in line to get hit with mega storms. Rain for like 30 days and 30 nights.
Jesus. Let's see. Well, it looks like we've got a good group in... good group in the room this evening. Anybody
want to... I was just on the phone.
Pardon?
I was just on the phone with Steve when you told me to connect.
Oh, Steve from Georgistan?
Yeah, I guess he's busy working.
Ah, well, God knows they've been working him.
He just wanted to know what was going on with you. I had to tell him you were off the air the other day.
Did I what?
That you were off the air the other day.
Tuesday and Wednesday. From hell.
I told him I've been there before.
No, that sucks so much.
Went a week without internet.
Back 10 years ago during the derecho, we were 2.5 weeks without it. I was afraid the horn wouldn't survive that one. Now we're back in another existential crisis.
We had a fire that was down by the freeway that affected the cable that went over the freeway somehow. And they had to replace the whole cable system. Knocked out the cell towers, everything.
Damn. Well, let's bounce around the room and see if anybody wants to add their 2 cents worth. You there, Christopher?
You might be working.
Hey, I'm here.
How you doing?
Yeah, I am still working, but multitasking.
No, you're a talented guy.
Oh, thank you very much. And you must be too. What's it like there? You see familiar faces over there?
Oh, I've seen a bunch of I've seen a bunch of familiar faces, and probably more tomorrow. And it's always good to be back in DeBerg. There's no good way to get into Pittsburgh, so it took me 45 minutes to go 11 miles. Trying to get through the Fort Pitt tunnel. But
are you going to be able to catch a pirate game?
I'm thinking after this is all said and done. I talked with Annette about it, and she seemed to think it was a good idea. The Reds are visiting the Bucks this weekend, and
perfect.
there's a 1 o'clock first pitch, 1:05 first pitch on Sunday. And there's evening games tonight and tomorrow. The Red Sox just left town. All these years, and I still can't get used to interleague play. It just seems wrong.
It does. From a purist standpoint, it just doesn't seem right.
I got three things: AstroTurf, or artificial turf. The designated hitter.
DH, yeah.
And interleague play. Those all need to go. And never will.
Well, and when they first kicked off the interleague play, at least they accentuated the natural rivalries. Right,
well, and it had a novelty series. Quality to it.
Sure. The Missouri series, right? The I-75 series. You know, obviously Cubs Sox.
Yeah.
Obviously, Yankees, Mets. I mean, those mattered. Those mattered to the towns. But then they fucked all that up big time, too. And it's really a shame.
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean, you know, Boston versus Atlanta because the Braves started in Boston.
Sure.
And it... But that and the designated hit, you know. But nobody wants to sit around and watch pitchers' duels anymore.
Now, Steve from New York, he's in Ottawa now?
Oh, no.
He's back?
No, he just went and visited his partner and came back.
How far of a drive is it to Pittsburgh? Maybe he meet up with you on Sunday.
No, oh, no, it's too much of a poke, I'm sure, but...
It's a long one.
Yeah, it's a hike, but it'll be nice to see God, the Reds are so bad, Christopher. They're so bad.
The Reds are worse than the Cubs.
Ugh.
Well, there's Steve. I hear him.
You want to handle that one, Steve?
Well, when Robin told me she was going to see him, I said, make sure you take plenty of tissues because I haven't listened, but from what my dad told me, they really are as bad as everybody.
No, they're horrible.
At the beginning of the year, on paper, I thought they were supposed to be buying for the division.
Well, they were until the fuckface who runs it traded everybody.
Oops.
Fire sale.
It reminds me of when Dick Wagner traded off all of the Big Red Machine. It's the same shit. I mean, to be honest with you, when I would listen to a couple games, I couldn't tell who was who. My dad told me, he says, it's basically a Triple A team.
That's exactly what the Cubs did last year. They took the whole World Series, all the remaining World Series roster, and fire sailed them off last year.
Someone would explain that to me.
Well, I'm looking at ticket prices at the ballpark. Upper bleacher reserved, $20. Outfield, $26. Bleacher reserved, $30. What's the most expensive ticket? The Lexus Club 15 is a $277 ticket. The dugout is, I mean, and of course, you know, the Pirates are not exactly awesome, but dugout seats are $88.
Wow.
The Pirates haven't been good since Barry Bonds' head was three sizes too big. Then they traded him away, or he went to the Giants.
No, his head never used to be that big.
No.
He just went to 30 years old.
Well, let's see. I just called up the standings. Let's see. The National League Central. Hey, Steve, you want to hear some? You want something optimistic? The Reds are a fraction less awful than the Bucks. The Reds are 46-70, and the Pirates are 46-72.
So you got that going for you.
So the Reds are actually ahead of them?
Yes.
They're what, one game up in the loss, or two games up in the loss column, even in the win column?
Yeah, their percentage is .397 to the Pirates, .390.
Yeah. Well, then I will say this, that if you remember, the Reds went 3-19 in
In their last 10, the Reds are 3-7, and the Pirates are 2-8. I mean, this doesn't look good for them. The Bucks are 25-31 at home, and we're losing everybody by talking about baseball. So, I mean, let's you know. But just to go out and watch a ball game.
Hell yeah, in a beautiful stadium like that. Go ahead.
Is that you, John Brittavo?
No, that's me.
Oh,
it's Alabama. Well, I'm part of it. Part of his crowd.
I couldn't tell. It was kind of had that bass rumble.
I'm an Alabama guy.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, we've talked.
Yeah, I'm big on baseball. I'm a Braves guy.
Yeah, I had a feeling. Yeah, back before the Braves came to Atlanta, everybody down there was a Cardinals fan. And then
when they don't play the Braves, they're not in it.
Do they have it? Oh, they don't have it. They're out of it. I know they won. Obviously, they won it all last year.
Braves are not out of it yet.
Oh, yet.
They just won 3 out of 4 with the Mets, so they're nipping. Oh. It.
Yeah, they're 3.5 games back of the Mets.
You're talking about AAA. They just got two good players and just signed them, like a $70 million contract. One guy's been there 2 years. He's just got $212 million contract.
Yeah. Oh, don't even get me started on how horrible the Royals are.
I think the White Sox just took.
Well, we got one player from the Royals, and you can have him back then.
Yeah, 48-72. Not exactly lighting up the league, but you know they're.
I don't know what they're doing this year, but they ain't playing baseball. That's for damn sure.
They're three games better than the Tigers.
Yeah, that's my other team. I get three teams. Cardinals, Tigers, and Atlanta Braves.
Well, at least in Kansas City, you get to bathe in the fountains.
And the poor old Red Sox are deep in the cellar. 14 games back.
Yeah, we beat them. I think we swept them.
Well, I tell you what, Monday, Robin, when you get back, we need a food porn report. You need to give the Pittsburgh Stadium the hot dog test and the pretzel test.
Well, there will be a hot dog test, a pretzel test, and a pierogi test.
pierogies. Ooh.
Pierogies.
Yeah.
I love those.
In fact, I've got, well, I have a checklist. I have to go to the original Primanti Brothers in the Strip. And I've got to find a really kick-ass pierogi place. And maybe go up to a place called the O for some gravy fries.
Gravy fries?
Never heard of them?
Well, when I think gravy fries, I think of poutine.
Well, it's poutine without the cheese curds.
Okay.
And they've been, I mean, I was actually thinking about it. It just blows my mind how it all goes by in the wink of an eye. It was about 39 years ago, about this time, that I was making my first trip to Morgantown and got introduced to gravy fries by the Pittsburgh people, and the Morgantown people turned me on to fries and blue cheese.
God, that sounds fantastic.
It's, you know, I mean, fries are fries, and it's all about what you do to them. But I had never seen blue cheese with fries, and now it's all over the place. But it was very definitely a Morgantown thing.
Well, it's a natural fit.
Oh, it is. It absolutely. But I'm totally stoked about the pepperoni rolls.
Yeah, that sounds great, too.
No, I mean, I love the history of it. You know, the Italian immigrants who were shanghaied to come and work in the mines in northern West Virginia, the miners' wives would make just very simple Italian bread, and they would cut sticks of pepper, what we call pepperoni now, and bake it into them and put a couple of them, three of them, four of them in their husband's dinner bucket to take down into the mines because, you know, easy, self-contained, and, you know, delicious and nutritious. And it is. Don't believe anybody who says that the state food of West Virginia is a hot dog. It's not. It's a pepperoni roll. And I'd never heard of them until 39 years ago. You want a pepperoni roll? The hell's a pepperoni roll? You'll never be the same. And I wasn't. And these are just so, and I mean, they're for sale in like all the convenience stores and grocery stores all over West Virginia. But these are the ones that matter. These are the ones that are the real deal.
It's like getting any old plain bagel anywhere, right?
Right, okay,
It ain't a bagel, right? It's just
I don't like...
Unless you're in Brooklyn.
You know, I don't like that King's Hawaiian bread. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It's sweet.
Yeah, it's like...
Yes,
it's one step away from cake. And I just... No. And so, like, most of the pepperoni rolls in West Virginia are sweet. And these aren't. These are just good, chewy Italian bread.
Sounds great. I'll let somebody else talk. I've been rambling on too much. Hey, Steve, what do you think of... is Rudy going down the river? Is Rudy going to have to stock up on his oil, scalp oil?
Rudy's not just going down the river. I think he's already in the boat.
You're coming in a little bit faint.
Yeah, I'm muted. Try again, Steve.
Is this better?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Huh, I don't know what to do with this. Could be I'm nursing a cold. And no, it's not COVID. I had 3 COVID tests this week.
So no, you just sound kind of, you sound a little sinusy.
Yeah, that's what it is. You know what? At this point, Rudy, I just find Rudy to be... I have a hard time having much vitriol about the guy, at least at this point. I just find him to be kind of pathetic and sad. You know, what the fuck is to say about the guy? I don't know if I ever told Robin this. I have a really weird conspiracy theory about him. That, you know, he's very famous for prosecuting the mob, at least the Italian mob in New York.
Right. I mean, John Gotti, right?
Yeah. but I always, he basically, I mean, for all intents and purposes, he destroyed the mob, the Italian mob in New York. That's you know, give credit where it's due. It just, I always wondered if that was some sort of conspiracy with Russia and Trump behind the scenes to destroy the Italian mob so that the Russian mob could take its place. Which is
fill the vacuum. Happened. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that makes perfect sense.
Well, I mean, it makes sense in the sense that quote unquote explain. I mean, it just waved the hell out there. But you know, I'm just looking. I am taking. I don't necessarily want to say pleasure, but I like Trump. Is just, I think the guy's probably not sleeping. He's probably on a Diet Coke / cocaine /
Nah, Adderall. It's Adderall.
Adderall drip. And I think the guy's, I think he's, and I think one of the biggest problems is that he doesn't have anybody to come to the rescue this time. And I think on some level, you know, he's got these, let's be honest, these idiot lawyers. I don't know if you saw it, one of his lawyers went on, I think it was Laura Ingraham, where they called it, she called the judge, Judge Reinhold.
No.
Yeah. I saw it on Sam Stevens' show. I was like, what? It's Judge Reinhardt, obviously. And they, you know, she said Judge Reinhold. And
which one is that?
Judge Reinhold should sue her for defamation.
Is that the dark-haired one named Bob?
No, that's Judge Reinhold. His name was Judge Reinhold. He was in. They showed a clip from. He was in, I guess, Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and then he was the goofy young detective in.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Beverly Hills Cop. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, and you've probably read the articles that any good lawyer, they're just refusing to represent him.
Would you?
Of course not.
No. For starters, you'll have an idiot for a client, and you're never going to get paid.
I mean, if it were only about money with him, if that's the only way, if he called me up, I'd be like, okay, I want $500,000 retainer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to charge with
cash money on the barrel head, non-refundable. Yeah. Thank you very kindly.
I was going like $2 million.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think New York professional responsibility rules allow me to do a non-refundable. What I would do is, it's just a flat fee for everything, $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get it back. I'm not going to bill you by the hour. I'm not going to have any expense. I'm going to pay for everything out of your money. That it's expenses and everything. But, you know. I can't wait. I think they're going to indict him. And I don't know if anyone heard Malloy talk about this, about Liz Cheney the other night. I thought he was spot on. She is, you know, as much as I don't like to say it, I'm glad of all the people who I would want that I can think off the top of my head pursuing him.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one. I think she is. Her politics is disgusting in every other way, of course.
Yeah.
But, and now, you know, freedom is having nothing left to lose. If you thought the gloves were off before, you know, the gloves are off now. And now she'll probably get daddy to use, you know, his powers from the dark side of the force.
Absolutely.
And well, I don't think he is smart enough to to understand when he endorsed what's her face for Men in Black in Arizona. He thinks it's a good thing that Cheney is not going to be in the House. He doesn't.
Well, I fully expect her to run for president. She doesn't have a lane, but what she does have is the ability to go after him every day. I mean, it'll be like Nitwit Nero is staked out, slathered in honey with a colony of fire ants.
Yeah, and hey, I can't say that I'm not the least bit sad about that. She's not going to win, you know. She's not going to win, obviously. But the other, you know, she is tapped into the establishment of the party, given her father.
And again, like I said, that dude murdered a million Iraqi innocent civilians on a whim.
I think a little pissant like Donald Jesus Trump. You know, if the Justice Department doesn't get him, Cheney will. And I would love to see her go after Junior Cokehead.
Oh yeah. He's the one who's got his face in the Scarface pile.
You know, and I wish on some level I could actually feel sorry for any of them, because it's such a dysfunctional whatever. It's so dysfunctional. And it all comes back to that nasty bastard, Fred Trump, who destroyed his own family and his posterity. I was going to say his posterior. Oh, by the way, I don't know if anyone.
And his father wasn't much better.
Right. What is it? Who does anyone have a guess on who the mole is? I know who I think it is.
You think it's Iwanka?
I think it's Ivanka.
Well, that's awesome.
But think about it. Who is the one person? I mean, Eric, of course, is out there doing whatever he's doing, and then Don Jr. is probably, you know, not probably, he's hyped up on coke like crazy. He probably doesn't sleep. He's probably hyped up on coke and Adderall and all kinds of stuff.
He and the Pillow Man are working on puzzles together.
Oh, great, yeah. Or they're doing that, remember that thing, you pulled that thing and it spun around and the arrow went to, like, a cow and it said, the cow goes, moo. But I mean, Robin, I don't know if you, apparently there was the safe wherever it is. And there's some, I think Sam on his program said a leather box or something. I mean, there is no, the only way that the FBI, and apparently the FBI knew right where to go. The only way that they knew where to go is because there is a mole. Obvious. I mean, that's not a rogue.
Yeah, Steve, that point is well taken. And Christina Bob, who is another one of the bad lawyers who actually was willing to get stiffed, she told Frau Ingram that it was a very short list of people who had access, and that there was only one key. So by process of elimination, once you find out who's on that short list and who gets the key, you found the rat. And you know one of them's going to be Iwanka. Jared's going to be another one.
Yep. Well, I think it's both of them. I mean, they're the only two who have completely disappeared from the public view. And then also, Jared probably, they probably came to him and said, we know why the Saudis gave you that $2 billion. So either we screw you or you really screw your father-in-law. And I think that's what's going on here. maybe I'm wrong, but
it wouldn't surprise me in the least. And by the way, I got your note earlier, Steve. You're right. This is my kind of coming out in a sort of a wider activist space. This is the first big meeting that I've been to since, like Rick Smith was talking about, since July of 2019, and that, of course, was pre-transition. And I know, and this is a really welcoming space, and I give them credit for that. I no sooner got here than I saw another girl like me. And it was like, yay! And of course, I don't know, we need to come up with some sort of universally accepted high sign that nobody will notice. It's just like, see ya, okay. Because, you know, clocking somebody and going up and go, hi, you transformed me. No, you don't do that.
But you know what you do? You just flip each other off, and that way people think other people think, oh, shit, what's going on there?
Oh, it's no. You mean like that internet meme? With, hey, what's your name? Did you ever see that one?
Hey, Steve.
Rick's got his hand up, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well,
okay, Billable Rick, jump in, buddy.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, Rick.
Fair to partly cloudy. Actually, it's beautiful. It's just high puffies up here in Pittsburgh, and it's just gorgeous.
88 and sunny here in Yorba Linda, so it's pretty hot. Hey, you missed a cowbell for Christopher. He talked about how the Pillow Man and Don Jr. are off doing crossword puzzles together on Coke.
I caught that, and I thought it was nice. But of course, having talked about it last night on the air, what did I do? Ran off without the cowbell. And it was just as well, because it would be very jarring for everybody else on Radio Row.
They're looking for the fiddles. Where's the fiddles?
Oh, and by the way, I was talking about there being only one key to the basement, to the basement closet. Only one key. Matt in San Francisco says, "Oh, thank goodness! Everyone knows it's impossible to pick a lock." And in fact, I think it was Kevin in Massachusetts the other night who pointed out. I said, "Yeah, you know, it wasn't any name brand master lock or anything. That cheap bastard." And Kevin said, no, Slaymaker. I hadn't seen that name in ages.
So who's in charge of that door? Is it Rick Moranis from Ghostbusters, the Keymaster?
Are you the key? Yeah. Oh, well, see, that's what I get for leaving the cowbell at home.
No, it's the State of the Marshmallow Man.
And Ralph's just informed me that Michael Cohen is of the opinion that the rat is the mole. I'm sorry, naked mole rat is Jared.
Oh, if it's Jared, yeah.
Jared's the masturbator. He's a little ratted.
Good luck,
you
Jeremy.
Need to keep in mind that there was video available over that doorway. And that was in the affidavit. That affidavit becomes knowledgeable. We're going to find out who it is. The FBI was really concerned with having access to what was in that closet.
I mean, it's kind of terrifying, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, the Chinese go there for Mar-a-Lago to get their chocolate cake. So what if they stumble across that closet and the Keymaster is in the bathroom or whatever? They run off with all the nuclear secrets. That'd be pretty bad.
I had a quick question for Steve, if he's still there. Steve? Oh, dear. Am I on?
Yes, Scott.
You are.
All right. Well, I was wondering.
I'm here.
You were describing that thing with the pull string. Is that the Donald Trump CNC? I still think Mattel missed a golden opportunity to come up with a version. You know, because there are different versions of Monopoly. Parker Brothers have known this for some years. You know, you create a new device. a new take on an old device for a new group of customers and consumers, well, the Donald Trump CNC is a natural.
Donnie's Dreamsicle is speaking spell or CNC or
CNC.
Yeah.
You know, okay. The gal says, Donnie says,
Bigly.
Democrats, Hillary, lock her up.
Whatever. Her up.
You know, you figure out, what is it, a dozen phrases or 16 phrases on the typical CNC? God knows he's got at least 15 or 16, you know, famous catchphrases, all of them based in just as much unreality as you can shake a stick at. The man is mad, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, the man is mad. Doesn't anybody see this, for fuck's sake?
I think Robin, it's a great marketing idea.
Robin, I just sent you the video of where she says Judge Reinhold.
Oh, okay. Let me see if I can...
I told you about a minute four. There's a lot of Sam Cedar talking up until then. But
this, okay,
it's
but,
on Newsmax.
But lucky me, I can skip a bit, brother.
Well, Scott, you know, wasn't he in
wasn't he in Sex, Lies, and Videotapes, Judge Reinhold?
I think so.
I don't remember.
It's a more serious film. But
okay, let's. I'm going to mute so I'll cut down on the room noise. Let's see what happens here. And of course, courtesy, the Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
Attorneys. As far as Judge Reinhold, I still have this burning question as to why he felt he needed to recuse himself on the case I have against Hillary Clinton and the FBI over a month ago, but then stood in and felt he was absolutely warranted in signing an affidavit to break into his home. I'm struggling to understand how a judge finds himself in conflict on one issue, but not.
Let me just tell you, like, first off, you know what judges don't like is when you go out and trash them and basically say they're corrupt on national television. Now, I think it's perfectly legitimate maybe for a client to do that, or, you know, certainly some talking point. But the lawyer who's got to go file the motion, probably a bad idea. And then the other problem that she has with this judge that she's been into multiple times is that if she's filing a motion with Judge Reinhart, she's not going to get very far. This dude just got fired. Play it.
I can take care of it. Mr. Hamilton, did you threaten this customer or use profanity in any way?
He insulted me first. He called me a moron, Dennis.
Answer me. Did you threaten this customer or use profanity in any way?
Yes. You're fired.
All right. See that? Now Judge Reinhart has been fired. What's he going to do?
That's great.
Jesus, that's beautiful.
What is the spokesperson's name or lawyer's name that made that comment? Because I have a feeling...
Alina Haba.
This is not... Haba.
Yeah, Alina Haba.
She's the one who
I've got
was
a
the,
feeling...
She was
Steve, I've got a feeling this is not her first cruise on the good ship struggling to understand. You know? I mean, I'm not a cruise director, but that's, you know. And then she invokes the name of Hillary.
Can we just take a moment to note that she authorized a break-in? No, it wasn't a break-in.
Here she also said, Robin? She said the judge signed the affidavit.
Well, that's a first. Reinhold.
Any relation to Ralph Cramden? How about?
Oh no, no. You know who she's related to? Who was the lawyer that was voiced by Phil Hartman in the early days of The Simpsons?
Lionel Hutz.
Lionel Hutz.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
Perfect.
cowbell. We are on a cowbell streak right now.
Oh yeah, and these are all real law books behind me. And if I don't win your case, you get a free pizza. Lord, yes.
I can't guarantee you that you're going to win, but maybe you're going to win. Maybe
play a cowboy uphill sign.
Who can, Sparky?
Gary. From Alabama.
Gary, you got a cowbell?
My sound won't work through there because of...
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's dive.
Yeah.
I mean, you're pushing it in here.
Only works in Discord.
Did we all see that all of our Apple stuff have to have the emergency update?
Oh, I haven't done it yet.
They said you better do it because it's changing people's administration.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'll do that then.
Gets in it.
All right, I'll do it now.
Me too.
So Rick, what else is going on, Rick? Rick, you going to shoot pool tonight?
He's left.
Oh, okay.
He's scomping. He's scomping off.
I wanted to say something real quick. It's been a while since I've been on, but I think it was last Front Porch, Darlene was on. She was fucking hitting it out of the park.
Big time.
Almost everything she was saying. I was actually yelling at my computer monitor as I'm listening. She was just fantastic. I want to make sure that who the fuck am I? Nobody. I just want to make, she was so good last week.
Well, Steve, what do you think of her main theme, which was, and we were all aghast to hear it.
Held the pardon?
That, yeah. What's your thoughts on that, Steve?
Well, I actually, I sent it to somebody. I don't know who I sent it to. Let me give you I wrote a rather long, shall we say, dissertation, although it's really not a dissertation on this. And I'm going to basically read it to you because it was so wonderful. It was so articulate on my part that I'm going to...
Oh, yeah. Are you almost done with your book on humility?
Oh, yes. The 12-volume set, yes. Yes. So here's what I wrote. I said, I do not want to pardon...
New from Time Life Books. Sorry.
I don't want a pardon for him. However, let's assume the offer is this from President Biden. Pardon plus agreement not to never run for office plus the proviso that if he breaks it, he's indicted. Given that he accepted it and reneged, the DOJ could use his acceptance of it as an admission in federal court. This would have the effect of placating the maggots as much as you can do and neutering them. Then the Democrats can pull out the admission card to the maggots. You know, he accepted a pardon. He's therefore admitting to everything. And with the result similar to Slim Whitman in Mars Attacks. I don't know if you know about the heads exploding. I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
And then I said, then since it's an admission of guilt, the various state prosecutions could use his admission against him. Mm. Too convoluted and complex, but that admission would seal his fate historically and currently. Again, I prefer a trial because I want to see testimony, discovery, and watch his kids turn against him and necessarily the maggots turn against his kids. But that, I think that's the only scenario in which I think a pardon would even be considered. I guess Darlene said that was in an article she had read or something. I suspect that was essentially a trial balloon. That was something planted in the media just to kind of see what people would say. Now, I'm a little surprised that they had would even have to ask the question, but I suspect that that's probably what it was.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Scott.
Don't give up on the toe tag pardon. I still think that is the best way to go. Little teeny tiny tight on a toe tag, and he can prearrange which toe he wants it tied to, the teeny tiny tag with a teeny tiny tight. Just saying, you know.
Well, in addition to not running for office again, I think the other caveat would be no more social media and dissolve that Truth Social or whatever the fuck it is. Well, that's got to go.
No, I would say no. Nobody's on fucking Truth Social anyway.
Oh, the maggots
are. Let him do his temper tantrum. Oh, the other thing, too, is I would say that part of it, the agreement, that he would have to admit to being part of an insurrection that way, and that would be part of the admission, because then that would kick in the 14th Amendment. Because, you know, the big thing about the 14th Amendment, about not being able to run, is what is an insurrection? That's no one's ever litigated that. But if you explicitly admit, yes, I was in an insurrection, he would be hard-pressed to say, well, yes, I admitted I was in an insurrection, and that says that that prohibits me from being it, but even though I admitted it, I didn't really admit it. I mean, I'm only saying this in, I hope it doesn't happen. I am with Darlene in that sense that I hope it doesn't happen. And short of basically exactly what I described, if it happened, I would be pissed PTFO at Biden.
I still just can't see. I mean, Gerald Ford was at least a Republican. I mean, it made sense for him to pardon Nixon in a perverse sort of way.
Look, and Nixon didn't lead incite an armed insurrection in an attempt to overthrow the government.
I think pardoning Donnie would drive a gigantic wedge into the Democratic Party. It'd be the biggest own goal. And believe me, the Democratic Party is the champion of own goals in history, right? But it would be the granddaddy of them all.
Well, and then you know what? Essentially what that would be the absolute, look, the notion that nobody is above the law is, you know, the fact that, you know, Obama didn't do shit about George W. Bush and trying to hold him accountable and Cheney for their enormous crimes of aggression. Huh? No, it's crimes of aggression. It's even worse.
Oh, okay.
There is a thing called the crime of aggression. They're called the core crime. You know what? If you want to know all about it, read the Rome Statute. The Rome Statute established the International Criminal Court. So in there, the four core crimes and what they are and blah, 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 blah. Also, Justice Jackson talked about them regarding Nuremberg. In any event, I don't want it to happen. But to the extent that there's any notion of nobody being above the law, that would be the end of it. You know, at that point, our chief executive would be little more than a quote-unquote elected king.
Yeah, Lady Justice, I mean, wouldn't be, I mean, she'd drive a stake in her heart. Blindfold, I mean, that whole notion would be gone.
Yeah.
It's disastrous.
Anyway, I want to shut up and let other people talk. So
yeah,
I,
me
I'm
too.
Gonna,
I've been
I'm going to mute, and I want, I see other people in there, so other people, please.
Let me just jump in for a second here, because I need to extend thanks to Brian. Thank you, Brian, so much. Brian just got us off the schneid, and that is a big, big deal. Brian just took us down to 1685, So that's a full week of broadcasting that's still unfunded, plus $185 from the week before. And, you know, not even counting the 2 days I wasn't on the air. We are in dire circumstances. I'm not kidding. I mean bad. Really, really, really bad. Horrible things are going to happen very soon if we don't do something about this. And so thank you, Brian, for getting us started. I appreciate it so very much. And I hope others will join in. So that's thank you, Brian. Thank you. No, seriously, somebody do jump in.
You know, the thing that gets me about all this, guys, is that the fact that Merrick Garland's, you know, he's doing his job.
And girl.
And the one thing, though, because Bill Joynes was talking about this over on Discord, because, you know, Bill Joynes was in the intelligence community for a long time. That's what he retired from when he got out of the military and everything. He said the fact that Donnie had all those classified documents and they were marked CIA, Pentagon, Department of Defense on them. There's no way that this man is getting away with this. There's no way. Each one of those documents has a minimum of 30 years. Each one. And they got 11 boxes of documents. It may be another couple more weeks before we hear anything.
You got a lot to go through.
Yeah. But not only that, they got to find out who else has had eyes on those documents, because I heard that security cameras that they found out that were there, that they seen people coming and going from that basement where the documents were found.
Oh, no, couldn't have. They had a lock on there.
The Biglius lock, yeah.
And they probably had a secret handshake. But here's the other thing, too.
Damn, the key was on the nail right by the door.
Yeah. Don't touch this key. Yeah,
it had one of those long wooden handmade restroom key fob things that said secret key on it.
They took it from the...
Oh, yeah, you get a belated cowbell when I get back, Sparky.
Yeah, that was really good. But the other thing, okay, too, is I understand what everyone's saying, but you got to read the statute. I started reading it. It's too fucking long. I didn't want to, but there is, he has a lot of wiggle room, because there's a lot of, if you read the actual law, there is a lot in there about, it's not having it isn't, as I read it, I think it's section 703 or 793, merely having it, at least under the Espionage Act, wasn't the crime. You had to intend to use it to damage national security. And I didn't read it closely enough to see when did that intent have to manifest. Did it have to manifest at the time the person took it? I'm taking this with the intent of selling it or using it, or I took it and I had that intent later. And I know those are like angels dancing on the head of a pin that only lawyers can sometimes even appreciate. But unfortunately, in a court, those are things to consider. And then there's although I will say this too, my understanding is the warrant was more about the other statutes they cited. But again, I didn't. That's really what you have to look at. I have a feeling that merely having a document doesn't mean 30 years. I mean, that's like, well, you know, if you, that's like a strict liability criminal statute. And other than like statutory rape, I have a feeling that wouldn't be constitutional muster. I mean, I don't know, but you know, all this stuff, you know, you have to look at those things. The other issue is I'm fully willing, and I think everybody else should be, to try him in the court of public opinion. Why the fuck does a former president have classified documents at his home anyway? I don't care why he has them. I don't care what crime he committed, whatever it was. At the very least, that disqualifies him from, you know, whatever. But nail his ass to the wall. A lot of people are skeptical about that. I think it's going to happen. I do think this though. I think where his real trouble is going to come from is from Georgia.
Yeah, that's what I see in this chat here. Carrie's the same.
Oh, I hope and take Miss Lindsay with him.
And Rudy. And Rudy.
This Rudy's going to be a big hit.
Oh, and remember from last night, Jenna Ellis is supposed to show up to testify for the grand jury, but she's going to be at Mr. Meth Pillow's party instead.
Where's his next party?
He's having, I think it's in Colorado or something, and a Colorado circuit judge even ordered her to show up for the grand jury. But nope, she's still going to Mr. Meth Pillow's party.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I'm not saying I think it's going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if that judge orders a bench warrant for her arrest and having her held pending a hearing on extradition to Georgia.
He would have jurisdiction so to do because he's entered an order and the court can speak through its orders. So he could hand her the keys to her own jail cell.
Wouldn't that just be... God, I hope it wouldn't hurt too little.
Doesn't that phrase just come in so handy?
Oh my God! Is that your invention? Did you hear it from somewhere else, or?
I don't remember. I've been using it so long. I mean, I can't imagine it's that original.
But it's that, you know, and it's one of those things. If you're talking to somebody about it, and they hear you start to say it, and then you finish saying it, and it kind of makes them stop and go, "Wait, what? Oh, yeah."
Well, I'm assuming the guest of honor at the Meth Pillows Colorado Roundup is going to be the Boober, right? She'll be blabbing her way through that thing.
I gotta change the topic for just a minute because I just ran across something on the itinerary for this. Tomorrow from 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. Damn, and I left my leotard at home. Let's Go Crazy, a Prince-themed yoga flow dance party. Damn it.
A yoga flow dance party?
I don't even know what one of those is.
But it's enough to not know.
But it's Prince, and I mean, you know, damn.
Are there goats involved?
No, it's not goat yoga. Now quit that.
I mean, Robert, to be honest with you, if I were there, I would go to something like that just to be able to walk in and go, you know, I didn't know what the hell this was, but I want to know.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, who wouldn't?
Are there going to be... See, this is where movies can help you. I remember the film Dragnet. With Dan Aykroyd and whoever else.
Oh, yes, with the goat leggings.
If there are goat leggings,
Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks.
Do not walk to the nearest exit. Jesus, goat leggings. And that kicking motion, that alone is that's one step away from goose stepping. And wasn't there a chant? That went with the
and it was something like booga booga ooga booga. Something.
Yeah,
like that.
I mean, come on, run, do not walk to the nearest exit, Robin.
And we all do. You guys, does do you guys and gals remember the name of the organization?
No, I'm trying, but no.
People Against Goodness and Normalcy.
Yes, pagan. Right. Pagan. Oh, I was transported back to the first heavy metal animated feature. And all those people praying in front of that pool, yelling, "Ulatek, Ulatek." Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
And then, give me that Lochnar. It's mine, bitch. The Lochnar.
Isn't that, by the way, real quick, wasn't that Judge Reinhold thing just...
Oh, it's precious.
Isn't that just precious? And you know what? I would love to... I said, bless your little heart.
Bless your heart, Judge Reinhold. He's been fired.
Okay, folks, come on. Please talk. I'm only talking because there's so much silence.
Yeah, right, I know. It's gotten... Well, and as a matter of fact, as fate would have it, I just had a security guard walk in front of me and give me the finger spinning in the air, you know, wrap it up. I guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They didn't flash the lights.
No. This is a very green space, so there's a lot of passive lighting.
Didn't they do that the last time you were there?
That was New Orleans.
Okay.
And I'm not sure, did they rush me? See, nobody else works evenings but me. Everybody else comes here and, you know, and I'll be doing it tomorrow. You know, I'll be out wrangling interviews and the like. But this evening, you know, I just wanted to get here and make sure that I got on the air because, you know, I didn't get to get here yesterday. I still have to find a hotel.
Oh, geez, you don't have a hotel?
Yeah, that might be a good thing.
By the way, a reminder, this Netroots Nation broadcast is brought to you by Kat in Ohio. Thank you, Kat. Thank you so much. Yeah, I guess hotels in Pittsburgh in high summer are kind of a pricey affair. So I have a feeling. Any SCTV fans in the group?
Oh yeah, of course, John Candy and all the whole gang.
You remember Joe Flaherty?
Mm-hmm.
And Count Floyd.
Count Floyd, yeah, maybe. Joe Flaherty, I remember for sure.
Yeah, he was a Pittsburgh guy, and okay. and I remember one particular. I remember one particular episode of Count Floyd when the movie he was introducing was Blood-Sucking Monkeys from Outer Space. Blood-Sucking Monkeys from Outer Space. They land in Uniontown. Then they go to West Mifflin, Sweekly. Then they're in downtown Pittsburgh. So, you know, anytime I see West Mifflin, I was driving in and I saw Uniontown and immediately, you know, that's the beautiful thing about memory. You know, you can have these little happy little moments that are absolutely for free. Uniontown,
now,
Sweekly.
Were these green visor, arm garter wearing, math problem solving?
One hopes. Blood-sucking monkeys from outer space. Ooh, scary stuff.
Yes, watch out for them. They will get you. Love it.
And it is for those in the family who have never seen SCTV, do yourself a favor. Find it out on YouTube and watch a few.
Edith Prickly. Edith Prickly.
Was it the Schmangy Brothers? Was that
on SCTV? Oh, yeah. Bob and Doug McKenzie.
They're the Schmangy Brothers. I've got a quick question for Robin.
Yeah.
With a TV tip. Are you a fan of stand-up comedy?
God, yes.
Well, then this is right up your street. And years ago, I read the book that this is based on. I believe it's on Amazon Prime. It's called I'm Dying Up Here. Have you seen it? or heard of it?
No.
It's a fictionalized account of a book about stand-up starting in the 70s, centered around the Comedy Store, but they use a fictitious version. And you know who Mitzi Shore was, the lady who ran the Comedy Store. I have not, I had been meaning to watch it, and the other night I was looking for something. I said, it's time to watch this one. I'm dying up here. I am telling you, the acting and just the stand-up within the show is funny. I mean, you just cannot help but love this, but interspersed is the drama of kids coming from all parts of the world to L.A. to get their break at the Comedy Store and be discovered by Carson, Johnny Carson, who at the time was the king of late night and was the entryway for up-and-coming comedians to hit the big time. There is no downside to this show, I'm telling you. I'm dying up here. I'm not literally dying. That's the title. You get it? But it is well worth your time. And the acting, do you know who Melissa Leo is, the actress?
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, she was. I discovered her, first saw her in Homicide: Life on the Street, the NBC series. She was one of the detectives in the homicide unit. But she's been in a number of things. I think she was in that that LBJ movie. I think she played Lady Bird. Melissa Leo. Look her up. Once you see who she is, you'll probably remember things that she was in. But she plays the Mitzi Shore owner of the club called Goldie's on Sunset Strip, where all the comedians vie for places on the nightly lineup so that they can be discovered. I wish I'd found it sooner, because I could have used this show months ago as a refuge from the rest of what's going on in the world with you know who. Anyway, I wanted to pass that along to you and the Horn listeners.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
They love good television.
Oh, and thank you, Jeremy. Thank you for jumping in. Thank you so much. So now we are down to 1675. And I won't even... Okay, Jeremy says, and I won't even suggest Robin's Creeper Story Corner due to the place of the program tonight. See what I've done here? Thank you. That's considerate, Jeremy, and I do appreciate it. I can't remember if this is... Because I saved this one. It was so good. Okay. This is just a little bit weird. But, Jeremy, it's you know. Got this one the other day. If I may say, you are incredibly breathtakingly beautiful. No commas. How have you been lately? As if we've ever spoken before to see how I was previously. I'm sending you positive vibes and good energy! ! I wish peace and happiness for you and your family. What is this guy a Mooney? If you don't mind me asking, if I was ever lucky enough, do you think you can? And I read this and was like, what? Because I still haven't fully grasped the entire range and breadth of weirdness. If I was ever lucky enough, do you think you can lift me in the air? I'm only 100 pounds or about 45 kilograms. Genuine question. Jeremy, are you there? Bueller?
Well, I've heard of
I'm definitely there. I'm just trying not to die of laughter. That's creepy and weird.
But this,
well, I mean, I thought that would satisfy your creepy quotient.
I didn't ask for it. I told
him
I wouldn't do it tonight.
Yeah, but I feel a sense of obligation.
Well, thank you. That's not a creep for one night. You can stop now. That was definitely odd.
I mean, I've gotten walk on me before. And do you like boots?
It sounds like you need to go to wrestling school.
Oops, and there goes another one gets blocked. Oh, and you know, when I was talking with Rick Smith a little bit ago, I was talking to him about what a delightful candidate Dr. Oz is. Well, you're just not going to do much better than this. Our buddy John in Central PA. Hey, John. I'm in Western PA. Now, granted, this is an old tweet. This is a tweet from Dr. Oz from July the 12th, 2009. This is pro. Apparently, Dr. Oz is an incel. On July 12th, 2009, he tweeted, "Ah, evolution." Oh, dear, this is not going to end well. "Ah, evolution. Ugly men make more sperm than attractive men because they don't get as many chances to deposit it." And this guy wants to... Can you imagine what a 1-2 punch he and Herschel Walker would be? Good God. That's just terrifying. But no, there, you know, another weird Republican obsessed with sperm. I mean, what do you do with that?
People are scary.
Yeah, they are.
I just remember Walker saying, despite what I've said about shoe size, I still like toasters. I'm still trying to figure that one out. I haven't quite figured it out yet.
Let us know when you do, Jeremy.
Say that again, Jeremy.
He made a quote about a month ago, something about the Bible, and then he said, regardless of what people say about shoe size, he finished the phrase with, "I still like toasters." That was the complete sentence.
God.
You figure it out.
Wait, what?
I like pie.
Despite what I've said about toasters in the past, despite what I've said about shoe size in the past, I still like toasters. As in, you know. You
oh, no, I remember. No, that I think that was a made up quote.
Well, maybe it was, but it was okay. It was too good to be true then. It was like, holy hell.
But honestly, did anyone have any problem believing it?
Makes perfect sense to him, I'm sure.
Not after hearing him talk normally out loud, I didn't. No, that's why I thought it was true.
I love his science guy comment about pollution and global warming. You guys all heard that one, right?
Oh yeah, that was pro.
China takes our good air and they give us their bad air, and that's why we have global
warming. Yeah, that's the one.
I'm still in horror that as of, you know, like 8 years ago, I would have never agreed a word with Dick or Liz. But in the last 6 months, Liz, I'm glad what she's doing. She's doing the right thing at the right time. I agree with it. And then to have Dick come out and say that Donald Trump's the most dangerous person in America. I almost fell over. I can't believe I find myself.
Well, no. And the thing is, I mean, I feel like I'm being some sort of terrible bitch where she's concerned, but we're baking cookies for her for doing the absolute bare minimum in terms of patriotism.
Now, Robin, I would like to qualify that I am indeed baking cookies, but I'm not using chocolate chips. I'm using X-Lax. So, you know, she'll enjoy them for a while.
Even though she would cut our throats, she did extend an olive branch temporarily and said now it's up to Democrats, liberals, independents, and people that stand with her to destroy Trump as best we can.
Right, pardon me while I vote to roast the planet.
Right. But you know what's really sad about this? Here's what's really sad about this, that Democrats should begin to take to heart. It shouldn't have taken a Cheney to do this.
No, this shouldn't be a heavy lift. That's the whole point. I mean, you know, we're baking cookies for Liz Cheney for not, you know, publicly urinating in the streets.
Or being a maggot.
Or, you know, pooping on the floor and smearing it on the walls because the maggots actually did that.
Yes, they did.
It's all on tape.
Oh, and by the way, so there's going to be a backlog of cowbells when I get home. Matt in San Francisco says Herschel, subject line Herschel, people with brain injuries need representation too. yes, Matt. Jesus God, I know. But you're right. Oh, by the way, thank you to Women Standing. Thank you, Women Standing, for jumping in. We are now down to $1,650 in fundraising. Well, that means we're below a $2,000 goal come Monday. But $1,650, and Emilio took us down to, $1,642.50. Thank you. And it did arrive. Thank you. Thank you, Women Standing. Thank you. Maybe some miracles will happen over the course of the weekend or whatever. But I just got the signal again, so I better wrap this thing up so that I can upload the program and hope that miracles happen. More. In the meantime, I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend, and thanks for joining in on the conversation. It was a rollicking good time, as it always and ever is. Again, I'll be here tomorrow and doing interviews, and I don't know. It depends on how I feel. Maybe I'll just go live. Who knows? An extremely rare Saturday horn. Thank you to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you so very much. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this long-running conversation in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks in the chat room and in the Old Holler Tree to Sparky this evening. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And now a proud union shop. Please stay safe. I had to show my vaccine record to get my lanyard for my little ID tag today. And I think that's a good thing. There's a lot of people wearing masks around here. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Maintain your social distance, 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. Wear your masks. I'm wearing mine. And, of course, if somebody comes towards you saying, well, Your Honor, I just don't feel like coming down to Georgia. They're trying to backdoor me. Well, avoid Miss Lindsay like the plague. Because they are. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.